I'll share a personal experience I had one day. I was consulting in a hospital somewhere in town, a peripheral hospital. I was in the clinic with a mother that came with her baby, a 7-month-old child. I was with her in the clinic consulting the child for something else entirely. And then all of a sudden, someone rushes into the clinic. The security person rushes in into the clinic and says to Madam, Madam, digging on. So this is how the clinic automatically gets disrupted. Some other person grabs the baby of the mother, and then this mother rushes out to the hospital gate. And I quickly follow her up, only for us to get outside, and the husband, a full-grown man, is out there on the floor jerking, vigorously jerking. So this man throws up herself. She's wailing. It's a new marriage. She has a little child in her hand, and then people are just, all around surrounding them. Nobody was doing anything to help. Even this was happening right in front of a hospital gate. The people at the gate could not even go out to grab the man to bring him in. And that brings us to what we say. Some people think, oh, if the spit of someone or the saliva or the secretion from someone with epilepsy touches you, it transmits epilepsy. So people were afraid. People were standing off. And that was how I moved from managing a child to managing an adult immediately, to move him into the emergency, get him to get emergency medication given to abort the seizure and all that. And then the situation became calmed. So what am I trying to say? We need to have the right information so that we can act right, especially within our communities when we meet someone that may be throwing a fit, outside of the hospital.
Welcome to Seizure Care Podcast. I am Dr. Chigi, your host and the founder of Seizure Support Foundation. We are committed to seizure disorder awareness, special education and related service awareness, as well as advocacy. We are back again with yet another interesting installment of the show where we discuss our best practices and latest advancements in the management and treatment of seizures and epilepsy in children. Our show aims to spark up conversations around seizures and learning disabilities in children to the end that they will be given the opportunity to live normal, balanced, and productive lives. Dr. Choma Laura Odimegu will deliver a compelling presentation titled Addressing Stigma Surrounding Epilepsy in Our Community, drawing upon her vast experience and deep understanding of pediatric medicine. She will shed light on the pervasive stigma surrounding epilepsy and propose strategies to foster greater understanding and support within our communities. Dr. Choma, we are glad to have you on board. Please, you have the floor. Educators, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Dr. Chigi. Good evening, everyone. Happy to be here today. So today I'll be discussing, I'll be addressing the stigma surrounding epilepsy in our community. So first of all, the word would be, what is stigma? It's a common word that we come across every day. And as a child advocate, in my community and in the place where I work, part of what we try to do is to speak out for children because the children are underserved. They are minors and they don't speak for themselves. So pediatricians act as child advocates. And part of what we do is that we speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. So addressing stigma, the question is, what is stigma? So stigma is defined as a mark of disgrace associated with a particular circumstance or a person. The Cambridge Dictionary defines it as a strong feeling of disapproval that most people in a society have about something or about someone, especially when that feeling is unfair and untruthful. The Collins Dictionary defines it as a distinguishing mark of social disgrace. And common to all these three definitions is that we notice one, that stigma is associated with a negative impact. Two, stigma occurs within a society or within a community where you have people and where they have a perception about something. And thirdly, most times these things are born out of an unfair estimation that is often generalized. So whenever there is a vacuum or a gap, people tend to fill it in with misconceptions, fill it in with misinformation, and begin to act on it, and it drives a perception in the community. So we find that stigma is driven by ignorance, stigma is driven by misinformation. Lastly, I would say stigma may also exist out of people's inclinations to be opportunists. You know, there are some sectors, this group of people make up the smaller fraction, you know, people that are opportunists. They just see a situation and they want to make a bad thing out of a situation. Some people make something out of an already bad situation. So some of the times these people are opinion molders. And when they see a bad situation, they drive it out of maybe personal or selfish interest and drive it in the wrong direction. So these are things that drive stigma within a society and then impact as well on the parents and the caregivers. So I'll say impact on the child. Like I said, children that come in, you know, and you find out that because of various conditions they may be going through, and because they are minors, they're not well developed to handle these situations, it draws a very large impact negatively on them. Part of it would be low self-esteem, low self-worth. You know, some of them have what we call the damaged goods syndrome, especially for the girls, you know, where they feel they're of no use anymore. And what this thing does is that it reduces their performance. School performance, class performance begins to drop. Some of them go into withdrawals, isolation. They don't want to volunteer to be part of anything in school. They don't want to, you know, be part of a drama group, be part of a singing group, be part of a debate. This is a negative impact of stigma on children. Some of them as well may develop feelings of shame and hopelessness, begin to develop some degree of anxiety and depression, which ultimately causes a low productivity. If unchecked, some of them become victims of physical abuse, victims of bullying, victims of harassment, especially in school and in other societies where they find themselves, even within the home, you know. And if unchecked, may progress to suicidal ideations and suicide ultimately. So these are various negative impacts the stigma could have on the individual. For the caregivers and the parents, the impacts could also be a sense of punishment, as it were. Some people feel like this child is just a punishment from God to me, or a God's judgment to me. Like the first speaker said, it's not a spiritual, some people think, you know, it's a spiritual condition, you know, and some parents would think, oh, God is just trying to punish me. This is a judgment for something I may have done wrong in my life. You remember the story in the Bible where a man was born blind and people said, what happened? They were asking Jesus, why is this man blind? He must have done, was it him that sinned or was it his parent that sinned? So it's a stigma, it's something that goes way back, not just in our present society. And it's something that is recognized. So some people think, oh, I might see that parent having that aura or sense of worthlessness or guilt, or they say, I'll bear my cross, you know. Some of them may become withdrawn, you know, because they have a special child at home. They don't want to take that child out for social activities. They don't want to take the child out for parties. You know, it kind of limits what they do as parents, begins to impact them one way or the other, you know. And some of them just see the child as an obenje that has come to eat my money, to impoverish me, to make me spend, you know, because I have to take this child to the hospital. I have to provide care and medication on a long term, you know. For some caregivers, they experience what we call the caregiver burnout, especially over time, where they have to do multiple visitations at the hospital or the clinics because they have to seek care. You know, so the caregiver burnout can set in. But the thing about this is that with all these things, it can lead to child abuse, child neglect, And then the child will tip into what we call a negative feedback, a vicious cycle, where the abuse and the neglect leads to further loss of self-esteem, reduction of self-worth in the child, ultimately reducing the child's productivity. The child will have poor output in class. Class performance will continue to drop. And with poor performance, the impact at home begins to worsen. The abuse increases, the child diminishes in self-worth, the productivity further reduces. It just becomes a vicious cycle that produces nothing at all. So these are the downsides of stigma, and that is why it needs to be addressed. So that brings us to the third thing: what can be done? One other way to dispel stigma is by speaking out, being an advocate. You can actually speak, you can change the narrative, you can challenge the status quo, but you can only do that if you have the right information. And when you have the right information, speak out. I keep making reference to the Bible, examples of someone in the Bible. Who was that? Esther. Mordecai said to Esther, "You don't know if you're in the kingdom for such a time as this. Don't keep quiet, speak out." And because of that, Esther was able to save a whole lot of people, save the Jews, spare their lives. So you don't know, speaking out might actually help save a situation or dispel some fears or dispel, like we said, many people act because they're ignorant, they act because they're biased, they act because they have their prejudice, their false beliefs. So you who know right should also speak. And for parents of children that have epilepsy or maybe going through difficult situations like that, you to as a way to address the stigma, to join social support groups, connect with others, belong to an association of people that share similar traits and support one another. The Bible says a threefold cord cannot be easily broken. And then also you can encourage your child to pursue his or her, be an advocate for your child, support that child as much as you can, go the extra mile for that child, give the child all that you can. And also avoid speaking negatively to a child that has epilepsy. Words are seeds. You might say it, maybe you're doing well in class because of XYZ, or you may not know the impact of such negative words on the child. So part of it is, as much as possible, speak positively into the life of that child. Speak positively, inspire that child. Have nice quotes that you can put up in his bedroom, on the wall, in his, be his number one cheerleader. That way, that child will go out there knowing that he has full support from home, and that child will be able to do great things. And then also for the person now, for the individual, I've talked about the community, what the community can do, what the caregivers can do. And then for the individual that may have the condition, how can you address the stigma? You have to be sure that you're well yourself. And how do you do that? Like we say, to thyself be true, first do no harm. So for yourself, make sure you get all the treatment and the care that you need. Don't miss your appointments. Don't skip your medications. Give yourself all the care that you need, and make sure you keep your checks, your appointments, and get. Secondly, don't believe anything negative that people say to you. Don't allow other people's ignorance influence the way you feel about yourself. Like we've already established, many people form these ideas based on their prejudice or based on their lack of information. So don't let their ignorance or their misinformation influence how you feel about yourself. Don't hide away, That'll be the third thing. Get involved. Take up positions of leadership. Take up positions of community service. Be involved in your community. Advocate for yourself and advocate for others. Again, understand that you are not your illness, that the illness is a different entity from yourself. So instead of saying, "Oh, I'm epileptic," say, "I have epilepsy." Like we try to tell children, don't say, if it's a child that has sickle cell disease, don't say, "I'm a sickler." You're not a sickler. Or you can say, "I have sickle cell disease." So you must be able to separate yourself from that condition. The condition does not define, the illness does not define who you are. And then lastly, remember not to take people's stigma personal. Don't take whatever they feel or how they address, don't personalize it, don't take it personal. Remember, other people also have their battles that they're fighting that you may not know about. For you, yours might be epilepsy. For them, theirs might be something else. Every person has their own battles that they're fighting. So don't take people's stigma personal. Don't allow it to affect you personally. You know, rub it off, throw it off as much as you can.
Are you a special mom, a dad, relative or caregiver to a special child? Are you interested in joining a support group of people who share common concerns of raising special children? Then send us a direct message on WhatsApp on 081-880-96087 and we will welcome you to our WhatsApp Seizure Care Community of Practice. It is our hope that through knowledge sharing and dissemination, we all can give our special kids the opportunity to live productive and independent adult lives. Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Chioma. So much you said and covered just within a matter of a few minutes. I learned a lot. I'm sure every single one of us did. And I'm glad, before I can open up the lines for people to actually ask questions, thank you so much, Dr. BC, Adobe BC. The chat room is blowing up and you're taking the questions there. I'm grateful for that. We are all grateful for that. Dr. Chioma, I have this one question, if you can just attend to it. I've been in the non-governmental arena for some time now, and one singular problem that we have, in fact, the reason I went into non-governmental was after my son was diagnosed in 2013, and I was researching, I wanted to find out ways to help him and help others if need be. So I was looking for a support group to join, right? But I couldn't find any support group to join, which was what birthed all these things. Because I noticed parents don't even want people to know that their children have these kind of issues. So what do you think we can do to make parents become more open? Because you ask parents, okay, let's probably form an informal association where we can come together and rub off ideas, bounce off ideas off each other and get advice. Nobody is interested because they don't really want to be associated with, oh, this is Mama Nkechi, that lady that the daughter has epilepsy or something like that. So how best do you think we can go about changing the attitude of parents? So that would be my question.
Okay, thank you very much for that question. I'm going to answer it and then I'll also ask Dr. BC to say something about it because she runs the pediatric neurology clinic at UNTH.
Okay.
And I know mothers bring in their babies to the clinics. And the thing about this is support groups are easy to build, especially when people walk into clinic. Like you're bringing your child to the clinic, you're sitting out there, you're discussing or you're waiting your turn. Another mother comes in and then a conversation just starts off. How are you coping with this? How are you doing this? I'll give you an example. I'm in pediatric infectious disease and we manage children with HIV. I can tell you for free that our HIV clinic, the HIV clinic in UNTH, the adolescents that we see that we have what we call the OTZ club, and we built such a massive support group there that is doing excellently well.
Okay.
So well, you know. And that's why I wanted, I said Dr. BC will address this regarding the neurology clinic and let's know what they are doing with support group amongst parents, you know. So it bounces up like that. You come into the clinic, you know, you bring your own child, that person brings in her own child, and then the discussion starts. And the truth is, if you understand that you're not doing this so that you can gossip about another person's childhood, I mean, you're wearing the same shoes. So the thing is, how do we find common grounds to do this thing better for our kids? When people come with that kind of mindset, you know, they come together and they produce enormous results. Like I tell you, in our adolescent, in the HIV clinic, you meet these kids, many of them were born with HIV, mother to child transmission. They've grown so well into teenage age, doing well in school, having great support, that you won't even believe such a thing exists. And some of them even grow, get married, have their own kids, their kids are free. And a lot is happening just because of support groups. And then if you're in school or in an institute or where you work, and there are any acts of bullying or discrimination against you, please don't hesitate to report to appropriate authorities. You know, that's another way to curb it. That's another way to also checkmate it in the society. And finally, I would like to encourage us to attend our seminars, conferences, workshops, and then be better educated to be able to dispel the stigmas when they arise. With that, I'll wrap up my talk for today, and I thank you for your wonderful audience.
Thank you for giving me 15 minutes of your precious time on the show. We have come to the end of today's episode of the podcast. I really trust that you were impacted and you learned something new. We would really love to hear from you. We would like to hear your comments and your suggestions and, yeah, of course, your questions. I'm sure there are some questions that you are really hoping that will be answered. So please send in your questions too. We hope to answer them sometime during our show. So our question and answer segment actually will be coming up on subsequent episodes. So please do well to send your questions. So you can do that by following us on Facebook, that is at Seizure Support Foundation, and on Instagram, that is at Seizure_Support_Foundation. Also be sure to invite someone who you know that is going through this challenge to listen in on our conversations. Subscribe, follow, and share on social media. It has been a great time. Thank you so much. Thank you once again for your time. Do tune in next week. Cheers.